Blog Talk Radio.
Ready. Ready. Hey, everybody, this is Ground Zero with the Nye Betts and Reginald Clemens, where we like to celebrate the movement. Today's show will be talking about Liberia International citizenship and modern day slavery. We're waiting on Reggie to call back. The call dropped or something. You can call in at 657-383-1630. And this show is just a safe space for us to just come and talk real movement, talk what it means to be really black here today in the world, not just in the United States, because I truly believe that black people experience some of the same international terrorism and oppression across the board the same way, and some of the same issues that we have here today in the United States. Here goes Reggie. Is the same struggles that we all struggle with. Today we'll be talking about, like I said, there's one of our special guests. We're waiting for him to call in. Is Mr. Joshua Milton, and he has his own organization in Liberia. He's one of international.
Accept this free call. Press.
So here goes Reggie.
To review this, thank you for using Securus. You may start the conversation now.
So I'll just pass the show on over to Reggie, as he can bring us into our today's topics.
Yes, how you doing? This is Reginald Clemens, and for Ground Zero. And one of the things that we would like to talk about is, as always, is criminal justice reform and mass incarceration. And a lot of the help that is required from activist groups, local, nationally, and abroad, because when it comes to the need for criminal justice reform, it doesn't just begin and end in your local community. It doesn't just begin and end in your state. The criminal justice reform needs to be as large or as big as the problem are the people that are causing the problem or creating the problem. And what I'm referring to, which I always refer to, is the corporate Confederate agenda. Because it is the corporate Confederate agenda to maintain slavery, in other words, by other means. There's a book called Slavery by Another Name, and it chronicles 40 years of after the abolition of slavery, and it talks about how the criminal justice system is used and utilized, has been utilized, to maintain conditions of slavery, and under COINTELPRO, that's also a part of it. COINTELPRO introduced crack cocaine into the enslavement by incarceration scheme. And it's basically crack cocaine is slave catcher's cheese. And yes, that makes police officers slave catchers, either knowingly or unknowingly. A lot of police officers become police officers to protect and serve, in the hopes of making society better and keeping us safe. But the structure of it is not designed to serve that purpose. And It's designed for profit. It's become more and more of a profit-driven industry for shareholders. Now, anytime you have shareholders involved, profit margins are way more important than humanity or humane treatment or civil treatment or life and death circumstances. Whether or not somebody dies in prison becomes nothing more than a statistical data set on its impact on profit margins on a spreadsheet. And the constitutionality of the circumstances or conditions of incarceration become null and void. And this is what the corporate confederate structure wants. This is what the corporate confederate structure quietly pushes for as people go on about their daily lives. And slavery is continued and perpetuated through mass incarceration. So how big is that problem? Well, the corporate confederate structure, now it goes all the way up to Wall Street. And it's been proven that there are a lot of investments, there's a lot of venture capitalist investment firms on Wall Street like Merrill Lynch and J.P. Morgan, to name a few. Goldman Sachs, they've got an economic jump on based on slavery. And that economic boost based on slavery has allowed them to cyclically remain profitable and maintain a profit margin. So I know that sounds like they're too big, or slavery by mass incarceration is too big to fail, and it's too much of a juggernaut for one or two or 10 people to challenge. I want you to bear something in mind. First of all, first and foremost, there is a God, and that God, through prayer, has saved us as black people. That God, through prayer, has brought people back from the dead. That God, through prayer, has changed lives, helped people of all shapes, sizes, colors, and creeds get relief from drug addiction, get relief from poverty. Prayer works.
This call is from a correctional facility and may be monitored and recorded.
If you sincerely want to change your life, or help change the life of somebody else, if you pray about the solution and you pray for God to show you a way, God will show you a way. And sometimes God will show you a way for you to fix, for you to work your way through. And sometimes people wait for a miracle and it doesn't always come. Now, for me, I was a death row inmate. In some ways, I still feel like I'm on death row. And that's because I don't always feel that way. I always feel survivor remorse. I always feel like a foreboding that I'm waiting for somebody to come execute me. I always feel a certain degree of depression and anxiety. I always feel a sense of sadness and loneliness. But I keep a lot of that pain to myself because hurt people, and I'm not trying to share my pain with anybody because this is not something that anybody deserves to feel. I believe people should be happy, people should be healthy, people should be at peace within themselves. And my time on death row, I was scheduled to be executed on June 17th, 2009, and I would have been executed if it wasn't for the world, literally, people in the international community coming to my aid. Lord McDonald from over in England, London, England. I always remember his agencies. The Council on Europe, Bianca Jagger, who's on the Council on Europe. People in Japan and South Korea. I got mail and letters of prayers from people all over the world. And there was a lot of local organizations in St. Louis that marched on my behalf. They held prayer vigils. And at the end of the day, I know for a fact that those prayers is what made the difference. It wasn't the legal maneuvers and different things with the lawyers, because the courts had just got through executing just before I had got there on May 20th, 2009. They had just executed a man named Dennis Gillicorn, white guy.
You have 1 minute left.
Who didn't kill anybody. The courts admitted he didn't kill anybody. And his co-defendant made a statement and gave an affidavit that he was the one that killed the victims in that case. And he got executed on May 20th, regardless of that fact. So the fact that I had not killed anybody and I had tried to prevent the murders from taking place, I know that ain't what stopped me from being executed. It was the prayers and the support of the people that moved the justice system, that changed the dynamic. And there's a beautiful story in the midst of that that reminds me.
Thank you for using Securus. Goodbye.
So, unpacking a lot of what Reggie has said. He said a lot. He's dealing with survivor's remorse. He's dealing with lots and lots of pain. And we can only imagine how many sacrifices this country has had on the behalf, here's Reggie again, on behalf of, or in the name of their own freedom and their own liberation, mass capitalism and total colonization and global domination. And they've done that on our backs, on our pain and suffering, and they continue to live off the pain and suffering of Black political prisoners who have been here, and they have gotten caught up in the web of lies, the web of mistrust, misuse, and judgment, and we pay the ultimate price that they have in their injustice system, because there is no justice here in America. And a lot of what Reggie has spoken on ties into us unlearning the cultural and behavioral, the cultural and behavioral composition of what they embody for themselves. And once we unlearn it, then we'll be able to free ourselves. So I'll pass it back to Reggie.
Yes. There are think tanks. That's one of the things we're up against. There are highly intellectual think tanks from Mensa who plan these things out. I think in some ways they actually believe that what they're doing and what they're putting together is for the greater good by maintaining the power structure or the pyramid or the concentric circles of power that most bureaucratic structures are based upon. And there's angel on those tears. But the humanity is lost in the systematic imposition, the soul and the spirit of God. And in some ways, there's an alternative calculation in order to suppress the spirit of resistance, which is actually to suppress the shine of freedom and fight for liberation. Now, in the spiritual aspect, the beautiful story that I mentioned earlier that is entangled in potential execution when I was pending execution is dealing. I was scheduled for execution on June 17th. On June 5th, a bird came and sat with me. The first time I saw a bird was at 7:30 in the morning. And they had dew on it because they had been sitting out before sunrise. And the bird was facing west. No, excuse me, the bird was facing east with the rising sun. And then later on that afternoon, well, later on that morning around 11 o'clock, I saw the bird again and it was facing south. And I saw tripping over this bird and see over here. I remember it was 96 degrees outside that day. And I was wondering why this bird here. The bird must be bringing me a message. And I thought to myself, okay, he must be bringing me the prayers to all the people around the world that were praying for me at that time. And mind you, the governor, Jeremiah Jack Nixon, said he wanted me dead by Christmas in 2005. The courts had already executed my co-defendant, even though they said that he wasn't at the crime scene when the murders took place. So they didn't care whether I was at the crime scene or not. And the only thing that could possibly be my saving grace legally is police brutality. And we know how police brutality goes in police brutality cases. Even a white person get beat by the police, it never happens. If a white person get killed by the police, it never happens. So I'm just like, okay, that's the thing that's my faith is in God. And I pray to God for the strength to accept whatever he's doing for me. And I sent up a prayer with that bird. And when I came back outside again at 2:30, I seen that bird sit there and I was like, man, that's a magic. And I'm like, yeah. I started observing the bird and the messages that were feeding into the bird, the stillness of the bird, in the heat. The bird is standing there and being obedient and still. And then seeing that I realized that on the inside, I felt like I was shaking. And that's never like how disturbed my spirit was, how disturbed my mind was, how stressed out I really was. I had been like suppressing it, but I was ignoring it, but I was extremely stressed out. And I held my hand out, my hand was shaking, but it felt like it was shaking. And that was the strangest thing to me, but I realized how much I was in inner turmoil over the stress of the situation. And I began to calm myself, and I began to allow myself to breathe and calm down. And that's not the full message that bird was bringing. I'll never forget it. And at 4:45 that afternoon on June 5th, I got a stay of execution. So it is because of the will of God, not because of the judicial process, not because of the lawyers, not because of the governor. I'd say even the media was kind of like prompted and pushing for my execution. So that was, as far as the physical plane, there wasn't anything really I had to say except for the prayers of the people, the love and the support of the people. And God sending forth the angels to move the heart of men. That is how we change criminal justice. That is how we change the environmental problems that we face. You have to get down and pray. With the faith in your heart, the faith in your mind, the faith in your spirit, and the faith in your submission, that God can and will work it out. All we have to do is repent and change our ways. God knows what's in our heart. And then after we get through praying, we got to get up and go to work. And that makes me think about how nice, chivalrous nice, used to take one knee with their sword in front of them and pray before they go into battle. And what that picture represents to me is prayer is the most important thing. Prayer, you have to pray to make sure you're in the right. You have to pray and for God to bless the work that you're about to put forth. But after you get through praying, it's time to get up and put in work. It's time to get up and move. Because just sitting there and hoping, no, that's not reality. But God will show us the way. God will give us the way. God will clear path as long as we start putting in the work to show our prayer and our actions. And we get together. The world saved my life. There is a God. To grant support, I'm here. The very fact that I'm here to give you this message and explain this to you. It's testament enough that there is a God. Thanks.
This call is from a correctional facility and may be monitored and recorded.
And I just, I'm grateful, eternally grateful to people that had fought to prevent me from being executed. And the rest of my life, I hope to, in some way, make my life mean something to give, you know what I'm saying, have some purpose in helping to bring peace in some way, helping to reduce the crime rate, and in that way end mass incarceration. Make mass incarceration obsolete by bringing about a balance to our economics, by bringing about a balance to our social harmony. And praying to God for ways to bring that about and make that happen. God from Satan, the rejected enemy of mankind, that we may unify instead of divide. That we may unify to help support the poor and the oppressed worldwide. That we may unify and come together and appreciate the creation of God's nature. The natural creation that is before us, the animals, the plants, the bugs, the beauty of the air and the water, the beauty that the air and the water brings forth from the land. This is where our heart and our mind and our focus should be. On how to be caretakers of the world and one another. And there's nothing more inspirational than realize that the best thing that you can do in this life is serve your fellow human being, be kind to others. And keep your word. This world is not full of all the hurt and pain that some of us believe. There are more good people than there are bad, even though the bad people make the most noise. But that's why we need to come together to bring about the greater good and expose the evil for what it is, the wrong for what it is, the misdeeds and the corruption for what it is. They miserable, they in pain, they just trying to hide behind the treasury of riches. That's where they hide their pain. They're distracting themselves with confusion, turmoil, and arguendo. But confusion, turmoil, and arguendo don't solve the problem. The problem still prevails. When it comes to global warming and environmental destruction, wasteful practices, when it comes to poverty and the misery of poverty.
You got 5 minutes, Reggie.
I pray that you'll find time to call into the next show, go to the blog site, AA Trust Fund, and donate. Because what the biggest part of this radio show, the biggest part of what we're trying to do is we're trying to push to get this African American Trust Fund established in order to put the final nail in the coffin of slavery and liberate our people. So the African American Trust Fund will protect the intellectual property rights of African American people and the generational prosperity, generational wealth of African American people on these shores and abroad. Take the movement for our freedom and our liberation from police brutality and mass incarceration and the residue of slave economics. Take that abroad. Beyond the reach of the corporate confederate structure. And please go to the website and blog and give us your opinion. Let us know what you think, good, bad, or different. Let us know how you feel so that we can address some of the issues that you might bring up and some of the things that you might be interested in hearing us talk about. We are here to serve you and offer guidance and receive guidance and share what it is that we know and what we feel with you. And hopefully, together, we'll be able to carve a path forward to freedom. God bless you. I love you all. Thank you for listening.
That's it. So that's it for Ground Zero. You have now heard Ground Zero with Reginald Clemens and Anaya Betts. And we hope that all of our people just, you know, get tuned in, just start having these conversations. Even if it's not here, let's start having these conversations even more. Peace out, y'all.